take out your notes, if you will. And we're in question number 9 in our book, 10 Questions to Diagnose Your Spiritual Health by Donald Whitney. And this morning we're talking about asking the question, are you a quick forgiver? Are you a quick forgiver? I don't know if you've ever experienced unforgiveness, whether you've extended unforgiveness to someone else or you've been the victim of unforgiveness, that you know that there's people who just can't tolerate you, can't stand you because of something in the past. Perhaps you've even asked forgiveness for it and they've never been willing to extend it. Unforgiveness is our topic. Let's pray. Father, we just commit this time to you. Lord, I just even thank you for discussions this morning about how anger can seep in and how we don't tend to forgive quickly. And I pray, Lord, that you would just help this to be communicated clearly, Lord, that we would have an understanding of what we've been forgiven of and how we need to be forgivers as well. So bless our time in Jesus' name. Amen. James Coulter said this. He's a preacher, teacher. He said, the unforgiving spirit is a number one killer of spiritual life. I don't know if you realize how rare Draper Baptist's experiences with pastors is today. Cheryl and I are just now in our 12th year. And I don't know where that rates as far as other pastors. I know pastors, you never had a pastor just stay a few months, did you? From what I understand, at least the last three were here four or five years, I think. The one had been here 9 or 10. So I don't know where 12 fits in, but I know a lot of pastors, a lot of good friends who served in a church for maybe several months, some for a couple years, but they burn out very quickly. Some pastor friends were treated so badly that by the time they left, they were despised by the people, and they were moving toward hatred of the people who hired them. Just a lot of things go on in ministry. Some were treated so badly that they said they'll never get back in ministry again. My own brother-in-law, who's passed away now, but my own brother-in-law was a church hopper as a pastor. And Cheryl, I can tell you, he brought most of his problems in churches. He was in a church sometimes 2 and 3 years and others for just a year or so. And he skipped around. He was in Du Bois and Altoona and Pennsylvania, New Jersey and Wilkes-Barre area. He was, Cheryl and I were married. I don't know how many churches he went to. I probably went to 3 or 4 of his churches as a kid. And then he was probably at least 10 more after that. So he was a church hopper. He brought most of his issues on himself. He was had some very negative attitudes, could be a very disagreeable spirit. So I realized he brought a lot on, but he dealt with bitterness. He dealt with unforgiveness in his churches. And as I said, I know a lot of pastors who were no longer in ministry because of bad situations that they faced over their years of ministry. Whitney himself, in this chapter, said, in his first church, he was the 17th pastor in the church's 21-year history. It wasn't the church 21-year history, in the past 21 years. The previous 21 years, they had had 16 other pastors, and he was the 17th. I don't know what this tells you, but it does tell us, not blaming the churches, all the churches, but churches don't treat their pastors well quite often. And that's why I said I think Draper's experience is a little bit different than most churches. I was in our church in Corning for 18 years, and I was the second longest serving pastor. I was a youth pastor, and I was the second longest serving pastor in our church. And that church was well over 100 years, too. And the pastor I was working with had been there 22 years, so he was the longest serving pastor. So I wasn't that far behind in just serving as a youth pastor. But, and I have this in your notes, the average stay for a pastor today is 3.6 years. And many serve only a few months. And it's sad. It's a sad commentary about the church. It's a sad commentary often about the pastor's commitment to ministry and to his call. But a lot of it stems from unforgiveness. They can't get past someone or group of people who hurt them. And I don't know if you struggle with it or not, but I can say I've struggled with unforgiveness over the years. I can replay in my mind still conversations that I've had with pastor or people who directed comments to me as their pastor. I was just thinking about one this morning. It was a husband and wife. The husband didn't like me. I had to go to them and tell them I thought their son was using drugs and they didn't think it was right. And they got really mad and they stood before the church basically and said, Pastor Ron just loves good church kids. Didn't say that. It was kind of like the goody two shoes in the church. He doesn't care about kids who are hurting and kids who are struggling. And that was about the furthest comment from the truth as it could be. But they both hated me. They were both planting some seeds of some discord in the church. And we were planning a missions trip, and the wife signed up to go. And I called her in. I said, listen, you've got to be willing to work with me on this. And she said, I'm willing to be working with you. And I said, well, you're going to have to give me some respect, which she had not given. And she goes, I can respect you on a trip. She goes, but we don't need you and your wife's friendship. And I kind of looked at her and said, well, that's a good thing because Cheryl and I consider you guys friends anyway, so it doesn't really matter, which might not have been the best thing to say. But they weren't good friends of ours, but she did not like me because of having to talk to her about her son. And I can replay conversations in my mind, and maybe you're like this. I was talking to someone, I won't say who, before the service, who we were just talking about how anger can come in. But sometimes when I'm just doing something, I might be mowing the lawn. I might be even in my quiet time. I might be in a conversation with someone else. I might be driving down the road just by myself, and the person's face comes to mind. Are you there? Do you know what I'm talking about? And you can almost feel your blood pressure and your heart rate elevate, and maybe if you could measure your anger level, it would be elevated. Just thinking about the person can do that to us. And that's sad. And I don't know if that describes you or not, but if it does, if you're struggling with unforgiveness, if you're struggling with this whole mindset of anger, let's talk about this topic this morning. So the first thing is that real Christians want to forgive. Real Christians want to forgive. In those moments when I'm mowing the lawn or driving the car and that person's picture or face comes to my mind, I know immediately what God wants me to do. I know exactly what his plan is for me. I know I need to turn my anger over to him. But oftentimes, I put the word up here, I would rather nurse the anger and kind of rationalize my being upset. Am I talking to anybody? Is it just me? If you've ever struggled with that, put your hand up. Okay, good. I'm glad it's not just me because I'm being very honest here. But I know what I'm supposed to do. But sometimes it's kind of fun to replay that in your mind. And I don't always respond when I replay that in my mind, wishing I could go back to the moment I don't always respond in a pastoral, godly way. Sometimes I picture a quick couple of throat punches to the person, and then I feel a lot better after that. And then I give it to the Lord. Say, okay, Lord, forgive me. After the person's down on the ground, Lord, that was wrong. Forgive me for doing that. But Whitney points out three times in the gospel, and I have these places in your notes there, Matthew 6, Mark 11, in Luke 6, where it says, forgive and you will be forgiven. Forgive and you will be forgiven. And he points out in this chapter that God is not saying, if you forgive someone else, your sins are going to be forgiven. That's not what he's saying. We don't earn our salvation by forgiving someone. That's not what he's talking about. But it does mean that forgiveness of others needs to be part of our daily walk. Of our ordinary daily walk with Christ. Because we have been forgiven so much, we need to be forgiven or be forgivers. When we repent of our sins, when we bring our past to the cross, and we realize God forgave me of all this junk.
And someone said something about me or criticized me or made me mad in a way, and I can't forgive that. Lord, remind me of what I laid at your cross. And that's what Whitney is pointing out. When we realize that, if we're a true Christian, we've got to be a forgiver. If we refuse to be a forgiver, he says, and I kind of agree with that, he says, if we refuse to be a forgiver, we're basically showing that we either are not forgiven of our own personal sins, or we don't hold the cross of Christ with much respect, because the cross of Christ bore it all.
Jesus tells a parable in Matthew 18 about a servant who was forgiven a huge debt. You all know the story. If you read a modern version, some of them say what the servant owed the king was several million dollars. And he went in and begged for his life, and the king forgave his debt, said, don't worry about any of it.
And then that very same servant went out in the street and saw a guy who owed him, and most versions or versions today say that he was owed several hundred dollars by this other guy.
And he grabbed him and had him thrown in prison until he could repay him. And then the other servants went and told the king what this man did. And
the king threw the original guy who owed him the millions of dollars into prison and said, now stay there until you can pay me everything.
We don't know what happened with the guy, but he probably stayed there until he died. He probably never repaid the king much. But Jesus added into that in verse 35 of Matthew 18, if you forgive, he says, so your heavenly Father will do to you like that, what the king did to this man, if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. Again,
we are so quick to remember what others have done to us while we tend to forget what God has forgiven us of.
So Christians,
real Christians, and that's the key, real believers want to forgive. And
we might struggle with it, but I know when Satan brings those things to my mind and I picture a person or a couple people, that's not from the Lord.
And when it comes, I need to be saying, God, I'm angry, forgive me. Forgive me, I'm turning it over to you.
Number two is a good question for us. Ready to forgive versus extending forgiveness. Ready to forgive versus extending forgiveness.
Now, you're going to have to bear with me in this service, in this message, because it might be a little convicting to you. It was convicting to me.
Just because I, being very honest, I do struggle with it. But we ask, what's the difference? Can we be ready to forgive without extending forgiveness?
Whitney points out there is a huge difference between the two. We always need to be ready to forgive.
We don't always extend forgiveness, nor should we. Now, that might sound very heretical to you, that's heresy, I'm telling you not to forgive. I'm not saying that.
But the question is forgiveness to be offered when no repentance is sought?
If you hurt someone, you better
know what you're supposed to do. As Christians, we need to go to someone and say, hey, I was wrong. Will you forgive me? I've been there, I've done that,
and it's not always easy. But there have been times we've been hurt, and all of you have been hurt, and you might still be waiting for the person to come back and apologize and say, will you forgive me? I've often heard people say, we always need to forgive.
If you follow the news at all, and not, I don't know, recently, I don't know what's
been happening a whole lot in the news recently, just because I'm just not watching it. But they often say it after a tragedy, like a mass shooting or a bomb's detonated and people are killed. And they always challenge the family. The media will say that, I hope the family forgives.
Well, that's a nice thing to say, but I want to tell you this. Biblical forgiveness is never required. Listen to this. Biblical forgiveness is never required where there is no repentance.
Now, that might sound all new to you, and that might sound like, again, it's heresy. But we must have our hearts prepared to offer forgiveness when we're asked to. We don't have to offer forgiveness to someone who is not willing to repent. In Matthew or Luke chapter 23, Jesus prayed, Father, forgive them.
And I've often heard people say, well, Jesus said that. Father, forgive them if they don't know what they're doing. He was
praying for forgiveness, But you need to understand, his forgiveness was not it was not an unconditional forgiveness. How do I say that? Is that right? It was not an unconditional forgiveness.
Because Jesus, his forgiveness was extended as Paul and
Barnabas and all these people started doing their missions trips. They went out and they started witnessing to some of these same people that Jesus was praying for.
And they went out and they offered the salvation through the cross.
They offered salvation through what Christ had done on the cross for them. They were evangelizing.
And every one of those people that they were talking to still had to come to Christ in faith. They still had to acknowledge their sin. They still had to repent of their sin.
They still had to acknowledge that Jesus Christ died in their place. And they had to come to God through faith with a repentant heart.
When Jesus prayed on the cross, "Father, forgive them," he wasn't saying,
"Forgive all their sins right now." He was saying there needs to be repentance that's going to come. What Jesus' prayer does mean is that we need to have our hearts prepared to forgive. And when someone requests our forgiveness, we must grant it.
So when someone comes to me, and perhaps a couple people who I keep replaying in my mind, and by the way, I've dealt with that. I've told the Lord, I forgive. I'm willing to forgive. And I know it's Satan that brings up the past. So I understand that.
And I believe I'm willing to forgive if they were to ask.
But my heart has to be prepared. I have to be willing to say, I am willing
to forgive this person.
Being prepared to forgive is not the same as extending forgiveness.
It's the first step
in forgiveness on our part, though. That we make up our mind that my heart is prepared to forgive. I am willing to forgive if they come
and they bring it up to me. Being prepared to forgive is our heart being prepared for forgiveness. If we offer,
Whitney says this, and I did some other research because I hadn't thought of this for a long time. But Whitney said,
and again, many theologians agree with him, if we offer forgiveness when none is requested,
if in our minds we're going around saying, "Oh, I forgave them, when they have not requested it, we have a misunderstanding of what biblical forgiveness is.
We need to have a willingness to admit that we're wrong if we're the person who's hurt,
and the person who hurt us, if they don't know about it, it's up to us to let them know.
But Larry said this morning, he said, you know, some people don't know when they've hurt us, and it's up to us to go let them know.
That's true.
And then if we offer them forgiveness, Larry, and they don't accept it, what did you say? That's right. So we need to be willing to go to them if they've hurt us. We need to be willing to offer forgiveness,
but they need to ask for it. They need to come to us and approach us and say, I was wrong too.
Leon Morris is a New Testament scholar from Australia, and he wrote this. He said, "We can always think of some good reason why in any particular case we don't need to forgive, but that is always an error. Growing Christians will recognize that error and become quicker to say, I'm ready to forgive. I'm ready to forgive."
Again, the Bible doesn't demand that we forgive someone if they don't ask us repent of their wrong to us. But our heart needs to be prepared to forgive.
Again, I don't struggle with extending forgiveness. I'm sure if someone, and people have come to me in the past, whether it was my own children or a family member or a friend, they've come and said, "Hey, Ron, I was wrong. I'm sorry."
I'm always ready to extend forgiveness. But I struggle with this whole thing of preparing my heart.
I'm not always sure that if they were to come to me, that I wouldn't want to hit them in the face first. And again, that's just being really honest with you. Okay? So I struggle with this.
Being ready to forgive. And that's the key for us. We need to be ready to extend forgiveness.
Number three is forgive and forget. And that's a question. I'm amazed at how many
good Christians who I know believe that that's a biblical command. That we're to forgive and to forget. The Bible never commands us to forget an offense, even when we do forgive.
We're created in God's image, and he does not forget. Forgive and forget is not in the Bible, okay? So understand that. And I just had several people, good Christians over the last couple of years, have said that to me.
I'm beating myself up. I'm so wrong because I was hurt, and I told the person I forgave him, but I still remember. Well, God has perfect memory.
And he's created us that way. Then there's going to be someone who says, well, didn't God say
that he forgave, or that he forgot our sins? Anybody think that God says he forgets our sins? Okay, he does not say that.
Okay, Jesus said, I don't think I have a passage here, in Jeremiah 31:34, I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more.
Jesus isn't saying, or God isn't saying, I'm going to forgive and forget. God is saying, I'm going to forgive.
I'm going to choose not to remember it. I'm going to choose not to bring it up to them anymore. What Jesus' forgiveness means is that he won't remember our sin and bring it up to us again.
Once we've repented of it, man, stuff I did last week, and or you know, was last week or last year or when I was younger, Satan will bring it up to me. Satan will bring it up. Remember when you were in high school and you said that word? Or do you remember when you were doing this and you had this attitude? Do you remember the time you were watching things and your mind kind of went to a lustful place? Do you remember that, Ron? God can't use you. I've repented of that. I've given that to the Lord. But Satan will still bring it up to me. Satan will still say, God can't forgive that. God says,
yeah, you sinned. But I'm not going to bring it up to you anymore. You've already dealt with that. Move on. And that's what we need to understand here. He promises simply that he will never bring it up again.
When I say I forgive someone, when I extend forgiveness, it is not a promise to forget. Okay? Because we cannot do that. It's just a commitment to the person.
Hey, if you've said you're sorry, I'm forgiving you. I'm not going to bring it up to you again. I'm not going to remind you in a couple years, remember what you did to me? The Holy Spirit reminds us in Luke chapter 17, verse 34, pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in the day and turns to you seven times saying, I repent, what does Jesus say? You must forgive him. The question is asked, and I've heard people say that, can someone come to you seven times in a day and ask for forgiveness and be genuine when they ask that, and seven times in a day be genuine in their repentance? I've heard people say that, and I've never really been sure what to say. I've said, well, I don't know whether it depends on their sincerity or not. We're just told to forgive. I want you to listen to what Whitney says. Whitney, in this book, in this chapter, shares one particular story. I think her name was Carol. In one of his churches, he said she made life miserable for him. She turned a whole group of people against him, and he said it was just a very difficult 2 or 3 years. And he says, when I have been offended, it's not unusual at all for the memory of that one offense to return to my mind seven times or more in a single day. Just as Jesus said, I might find myself faced with the necessity to become willing to forgive at least seven times a day, I must do it.
So he's pointing out and saying, perhaps the person is not coming to you and saying, I forgive, or will you forgive me seven times a day? Maybe they've done it once. But the vivid color and the audio of what they said to us comes back 7 or 10 or 12 times a day.
And that's what Whitney is saying, what Jesus is talking about. When that replay comes back to our mind, and again, we hear the words and we see the person and we feel our blood pressure starting to rise and our temper starting to peak, that's when we say, God, I've already forgiven them.
I'm not forgetting it, Lord. Satan's bringing it up to me. I can't forget it, but I have forgiven.
Lord, help me to deal with that. He says this, Whitney says, as he closes out this personal illustration of this woman, he says, with each remembrance, I had to return to the cross of Jesus and renew my willingness to forgive her. It got easier each time,
even though each time the wound was reopened. Isn't that a great statement? maybe it's been scabbed over for 20, 30 years, but you still play it back in your mind as if it was yesterday. And you struggle with that unforgiveness. You struggle with just thinking of that person's face or even hearing their name mentioned. We need to return to the cross and say, God, here's what I brought to you. Help me to remember that and not be offended by what she or he did to me or what they did to me. It got easier even though the wound had been reopened. The wound is going to be reopened, but it's Satan who does that. And we need to be willing to forgive. I don't know if you've ever been defeated or you feel defeated by unforgiveness.
Just want to trust or encourage you to turn back to God's word. Begin the process of allowing your heart to be willing to forgive. Say, God, they haven't asked for forgiveness yet, so I'm not extending it, but I'm preparing my heart to forgive. I can't forget, but God, I'm preparing my heart to forgive.
And then he closes this section with a statement called probing the heart. And I have them in your notes there. Probing the heart.
We all like to speak about forgiveness
when we're talking about someone's response to us. When I've hurt someone, I expect them to forgive.
But it's very difficult and very different when it's personal. When we're faced with the decision, am I going to be willing to forgive them whether they ask or not? Am I going to prepare my heart for forgiveness? And if they ask, am I going to be willing to extend it?
So letter A is, are you ready to forgive?
Someone asked it this way.
I heard this a long time ago. Are you ready to forgive? Someone says, is there someone in your life that you are not ready to forgive?
That kind of brings it around a whole different direction, doesn't it? Are you ready to forgive? Yeah, we can say that.
When they ask us, is there someone in your life that you are not ready to forgive?
As I worked on that for the last couple, this message the last couple weeks,
those faces came to my mind. And I had to say, yeah,
God, I am ready to forgive. But is there someone at work or is there someone at school, someone in your family, someone in the neighborhood who
just their face or their voice brings outrage to your life and just causes turmoil?
If so, Whitney says this, resolving the issue is the only way forward.
And again, you might not have to go to the person, but you need to prepare your heart
to offer forgiveness. David said this in Psalm 86:5, you, O Lord, are good and forgiving.
So for us to grow to be more like Christ is what the goal of these 10 questions are.
We must be ready to forgive in every situation. And I had to remind myself of that. It begins today. It begins in my heart and begins with the Holy Spirit and being yielded to his direction.
So are you ready to forgive?
Letter B, do you need to initiate the process of forgiveness with anyone?
If you are the offender, we've already talked about it, your next step is obvious. You need to go to the person and say, I was wrong. And maybe you might not even know everything you did. You might be aware of one or two things that you did that caused them, but I guarantee if you did one or two things to the other person, there's probably five or six things that they're thinking of that you've done. You need to be willing to go and say, I know I wronged you. I'm sorry, will you forgive me? That takes a lot. And I've done that, and that is hard, but you know what? It's even harder.
By the way, they say don't just go privately to the person, but apologize and repent and ask for forgiveness.
Don't just go and say, hey, there's something against you and I, let's work it out. No, go to them privately
and be willing to repent and ask for forgiveness. But if you're the one that has been offended, you may need to go to the person and let them know, but you might have to confront them if they aren't aware.
But if they are aware, then just be working on your heart and say, God, I need to be preparing my heart to be willing to forgive. I need your Holy Spirit to help me with this. I need your Holy Spirit to really cement this in my heart that it's not just words. That may lead to them asking. Maybe God's been waiting for you to acknowledge your own willingness to prepare your heart.
Then if they come, you need to be willing to extend forgiveness. If not, your heart still needs to be prepared.
So the key for us in all this is working in our own heart. And then letter C,
do you love forgiveness? True Christians, as we said, real Christians love forgiveness.
We're not going to be prideful about our ability to hold on to a grudge. And I'm not prideful of that, but I can think, man, I'm good at that. I can remember stuff that was said 30 years ago. That's not right. I'm not prideful about that at all. But do I love forgiveness? Do I love holding on to it and then getting the opportunity to tell people off and making them feel small, to hurt the person back? I know a lot of people were very good at that too. We need to grow to understand how much God has forgiven us.
And then when we do that, when we have a full grip or even a partial grip of all that God's forgiven us, we should be able to be excited to offer forgiveness to other people. This may have been a very difficult question for you, as I said it was for me. But we need to be committing to be more like Christ.
And this is an area where God is working in my heart, and I trust he's going to be working in your heart with it. But we need to be preparing our own heart to be willing to forgive.
And I can think of some people I'd like to talk this message over with. I know some people are just really clinging on to not being forgiving. And I've already told you, my own heart needs to be challenged. But I can think of some people who are just struggling right now with this whole area, and they're not moving ahead with Christ. They're very stagnant in their Christian life. I trust that we, as a church and as individuals, can be forgivers because of all that God has forgiven us. Father, I thank you for all that you've forgiven me. And Lord, the stuff I constantly bring to you, and probably at least 7 times a day, you've always been willing to forgive. And Lord, but you do demand repentance. You do demand me to say, I was wrong. I agree with you that what I've done is sin. Lord, help me to be a forgiver because of what I've been forgiven. And Lord, I pray that you would just use this sermon in each of our lives today. Lord, perhaps some are just really dealing with some real serious issues. Not only is a person not asked forgiveness, but the wounds go deep for people here. Lord, I pray that we would be preparing our hearts to be following you. And Lord, help us not to be beaten up that we don't forget. Just thank you, Lord, for the minds you've given us that we do remember. Lord, help us to be obedient. And if we've offered forgiveness to someone, not to keep bringing it up. And Lord, we just pray that we would see Satan defeated in our lives, that we won't allow him to continue to bring up stuff from our past or the past that someone has done to us. Lord, help us to move on in forgiveness with you, and help us to be the forgivers that you want us to be, Lord, through your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to